Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Alaikum, Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho, Lila Tanya, Wase Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you, as it is with me. Let me adjust our recording levels here. Downward just a little. Okay, that's better. And now I want to welcome you to Monday's class in Neo-Sabbatean Post-Lurianic Kabbalah with Reb Yaniel, who is me. All right. And now before starting this year, I will do as I began each year by reciting the Kaddish for the Mourners of the Dead. This is to honor our ancestors, who we are, who live on, not only in our memories, but in our genetic codes. So we literally are our ancestors, and this is to honor them. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Ish kadal v'ish kadash meirabo, bomo dive ro kirase, v'amlik melkase, v'kaya kon, uv yomekon, uv kaya dekol bes Yisrael, ba'agalo uvizman koryev, v'imro omein. Yei hei shmei rabo mavorak, le'alam ule ome omayo, yis barak v'yis tabak v'yis parar v'yis ramam, v'yis nase v'yis hadar v'yis ale v'yis halal, shmei du kadsho, beraku, le'elo minkol berkaso v'shoroso, tush bekoso v'nekamoso da'amiron be'olmo ve'imru omein. Yei hei shlomo rabo min shamayo, Vekayim Ulenu, Veyal Kol Yisrael, Veimru Omein. Ose Shalom Bimramov, Huyashe Shalom, Ulenu Veyal Kol Yisrael, Veimru Omein. Thank you very much. And as you know, we've been teaching for quite a few of the weeks gone by about Devakut, and how that relates to the levels of soul and the levels of world, being five levels of soul correspond to the five worlds of existence, spiritual worlds and material world, of course, being our physical and temporal world. And in the last class that we had, which was last Wednesday, and let me just check again. This recording level doesn't look right here. Let me check this again. Okay, yeah, it's all right. In our last shiur, last Wednesday, we started off by reminding you that Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 contains not one, but three accounts of the making of man in the Zelamim Elohim, that is, the images of God. Three accounts, not one. We ask the question of why three, not two, not four. In other words, what is this importance that is placed on the number three? Why is there this importance placed on the number three? We showed that the ten holy sephirot of the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, are arranged in three pillars or columns. There's a left, a right, and a middle column. We showed that the right and left columns represent pairs of opposites that are in conflict with each other. The right-hand column and the left-hand column are in conflict. So we have life versus death, light versus darkness, good versus evil, male versus female, positive versus negative, active versus passive, and I could go on and on. Because in reality, these are all the attributes and characteristics of God, and they are in conflict. And if you look into the world and you look into your own self, into the psychology of your own psyche, so to speak, you will see that both the world and you can be described largely in terms of conflicting opposites, opposites in conflict. Okay, and these are represented in the image of God, or otherwise known as the Godhead, which is the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, that is the ten holy sephirot, arranged in three columns. Okay, that this is, in fact, the image of God, and why it is that the world has all of these opposites in conflict, and why it is these opposites are contained inside every human being, and they are in conflict. Okay, and the center column represents woe to everyone and all things, were there not a center column, because the center column represents the reconciliation and union of these opposites that are in conflict. Okay? We showed that this image of God is a visual or pictorial description of a process that can be seen as a metaphysical dynamic. Okay, a dynamic process. It's metaphysical in that it's the process of creation. And using metaphysical philosophical terms, we can describe these three forces of this metaphysical dialectic. Okay, there's three forces, two of which are in a dialectic, that is, in opposition. Okay, and a third force, which is a mediating force. And these are thesis, equivalent to the right-hand column, and antithesis, or antithesis, which represents the sephirot, or characteristics, in the left-hand column. And those two are in a dialectic, or a conflict between the two sides. And then the middle column, which is the mediating influence, the intermediating influence or force, which is synthesis. Okay? So out of the conflict of opposites, or thesis and antithesis, comes a new third form of existence, which is a union, a reconciliation and union, or synthesis of the opposites. So there's a rectification that takes place that results in peace, balance, and harmony in God, in the universe, in our world, and in our psyches and between us and other individual human beings and groups. So this is a model for it, all existence in reality, created reality, and for the resolution of conflict as well. Okay, we cited in our last meeting a passage from Sefer Yetzirah, in which is described an analogy of the balance beam by which merit is weighed against evil, with the tongue of decree deciding between them. I wish to speak a little more on this, so I'm going to reread this passage from the Sefer Yetzirah, from the version that's translated and with commentary by Aryeh Kaplan. And it says, 22 foundation letters, colon, three mothers, seven doubles, and 12 elementals. So if you add those up, there's 22 letters in total, three of which are mothers, seven of which are doubles, that's 10, and 12 which are elementals. So you add those together and they sum to 22. Okay? Then it goes on. It says the three mothers, which it's told us, are mentioned just previously, are Aleph, Mem, Shin. So now it's going to talk about, not about the seven doubles or the 12 elementals, it's now going to talk to us more about the three mother letters, the three mothers. They are Aleph, Mem, and Shin. About them, it goes on to say, their foundation is a pan of merit, a pan of liability, and the tongue of decree deciding between them. Okay, here's the analogy of the balance beam scale by which our good deeds are weighed in the pan of merit against our bad deeds, our failings, our sins, if you will, which are collected in the pan of liability. Okay? And the tongue of decree decides between them. Well, it says that these are represented by, or symbolized by, the three mother letters, Aleph, Mem, and Shin. Okay? So, and then it goes on to say, three mothers, Aleph, Mem, Shin, Mem hums. And think about it. If you say the word mem, 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 it's a humming sound. Shin hisses. That's because shin is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet that can be pronounced in two ways. Because it vacillates between goodness or wholeness and sin. Sin is the pronunciation if it represents evil and darkness. Shin is its pronunciation if it represents wholeness. Okay, so the letter Shin is just, its name is Shin. It's pronounced in two ways. And in the context of this analogy being told to us by our father Avraham, to whom is attributed the authorship of this ancient text called the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, this is all in terms of this balance beam scale, whereby our good deeds are weighed against our merit. So, Mem hums, Shin hisses. That means that, and Mem's associated with the pan of our good deeds or our merits, and Shin is associated with the pan of liability, which holds our sins and our mistakes, our failings. So why does it say shin hisses instead of makes a shushing sound? Because in the context here, being the symbol of the pan of liability, it means the pan that holds our sins. And the letter shin, when it's used to represent sin and darkness, is pronounced sin. Indeed, that's where the word in English, sin, comes from. It's from the Hebrew letter shin, when it is used to represent darkness and failings, liabilities against us. Okay? And the third letter, Aleph, is the breath of air. Aleph is air. And if you say that, you can see, where does the sound of Aleph begin? In the back of your throat. And it is an expulsion or expelling of air. Aleph. Okay? And it decides between them. It is the tongue of decree, in fact, deciding between them. Okay. Now, these 22 foundation letters represent the paths connecting the 10 holy sephirot. Energy is transferred between these 10 holy sephirot back and forth through along these paths, or it's even useful to view them as channels. Okay? Channels which could be sort of like canals. Or, yeah, like if you're thinking of water, these would be canals or they'd be rivers. Okay? Or since God is light, a better thing would be to consider them to be tubes. They're still channels, but they're tubes. And it's through these tubes, which are made of light themselves, because God is light. Okay? So each of these letters is a tube with a different letter, a different name. Okay, and there's 22 of them. And that means, because they have different letters, that the light of which they are constructed has a different, it is unique to each one of them, has a different frequency a different frequency of light. Okay, hence the different Hebrew letters. Now, the three mothers that we're talking about, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, notice, and now you need to have your diagram of the ten holy sephirot, the Ezkayim, the tree of life, in front of you. Otherwise, what I'm about to tell you is going to make absolutely no sense, unless you have studied this stuff so much that you can see it in your mind without referring to the actual physical diagram, but it takes a long time to get to that point. Okay, so hopefully my having said that gave you enough time to locate and get in front of you your diagram of the ten holy sephirot. So we're talking about the connecting pathways, the connecting channels of light, that there are 22 of which, and we're going to talk now about the three mothers, Aleph, Mem, and Shin. And I'll tell you where they are. They are the three horizontal paths. These are the three channels that channels of light, holy light, that connect the two pillars of the opposites. So they're easy to find. There's only three horizontal paths or channels. And if you notice, each one of them connects two of the sephirot that are in the pillars of the opposites on the right and the left-hand sides. The one at the top is called Shin. And if you'll look, you'll see a letter looks kind of like a little crown. That is the Hebrew letter for Shin. And that connects Chokmah and Binah. Okay? Shin represents fire. Okay? Aleph is the next one, and it's the middle path that's horizontal. It connects the Sefirot Chesed and Gevurah. Okay, and it, Aleph, stands for air. Mem is the bottom horizontal pathway or channel. And it connects the Sefirah Netzach with the Sefirah Hod. Mem stands for water. Okay, so there's the only three horizontals. And that's significant. These are the communication channels, the connecting channels between all of God's loving and life-giving characteristics with God's angry and discriminating and withholding of life elements, his right and left-hand sides. Okay. Now, notice that Aleph, we said, was in the middle. And it's represented by, if you look there, you'll see the letter Aleph in Hebrew, which looks sort of like a stylized X. Okay. And Mem is in the bottom, which kind of looks like a capital G in cursive English. Okay, so we have the three there. Okay. Notice that Aleph is in the middle in terms of vertical location. There's three paths arranged over the top of each other from top to bottom. The top is Shin, the middle one, or the central one, is Aleph, and the bottom one is Mem. Okay? It's in the position of mediating between the top and the bottom. Aleph is in the middle. Okay, now, imagine that if you were standing in that middle column on the path of Aleph. That means that middle path, middle column on the middle path, the one that connects Chesed and Gevurah. Okay, see the Aleph that looks like the stylized X? Imagine that you're standing on that X. Okay, and you're not facing to the top or to the bottom. Instead, you have a choice, being a human being. You have a choice between the Yetzer Hara, which is to your left. That's the urge to do evil. Okay? A choice between facing in that direction or facing to the right-hand side of God. That is choosing to follow the, or listen to, or be influenced by, that's the best word for it, to be influenced by the Yetzer HaTov, the urge to do good. Urge to do goodness, or to bring the influence of goodness into the world, into you. Okay? So you have this choice to make. if you face the right-hand side of God, okay, if you follow the impulse to do good, the Yetzer HaTov, and face the right-hand side of God, that right-hand pillar or column, God's side of loving and goodness, loving kindness and goodness, then where is your right hand? You're standing on the Aleph, okay? Your right hand is represented by the Mem below you, okay? The Mem, which is the bottom horizontal line. Your right hand reflects now the right hand of God, doesn't it? Your right hand, you're looking at the right hand of God, and so your right hand now contains water, Mem, water. Water, which gives life, which we use to baptize people, to cleanse them, purify them of their sins. So you are facing God's right-hand side by choosing the Yetzer HaTov and turning to the right and face the right-hand side, then that means that in your right hand is loving kindness and life and purification that comes from water. On the other hand, if you were to adhere to the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, and turn to the left, and now standing on Aleph, you're now facing the left-hand pillar or column of God. Okay? You're facing the left-hand side of God. Your right hand is now, and your right hand is always considered, because most everybody's right-handed, is considered the hand of strength. Okay? So in your right hand, or in the hand of strength, is not Mem, that's now in your left hand. Instead, in your right hand is Shin, fire. Okay? And fire is associated with purification also, isn't it? But it's a purification of pain, burning, and death. Okay? We walk through the fire. It's not a pleasant thing. But notice that whichever way you turn, you will indeed experience purification. That's unavoidable. The choice is if you adhere to the Yetzer HaTov, the urge toward life and goodness and light, okay, your purification will be out of your right hand, and it will be the purification of water. But if you adhere to and fall prey to the temptations of the left-hand side of God through the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, you will turn to the left and face God's left-hand side, which are characterized by Gevura and, by Binah, Gevura, and Hod. And your right hand, your hand of strength, will purify you as well, but it will be the purification of fire that comes from strict judgment and death. Okay? Okay, so now the thing to know about this is we bring this all upon ourselves. What we're standing upon is the tongue of decree. It's the pivot point. It's the pivot point. Okay? God stands in our position and sees through our eyes which direction we are facing. To the side of love and mercy, which is to his right-hand side of love and mercy, or to the side of anger and strict judgment, which is his side of anger and strict judgment. It is we who, through our thoughts and words and deeds, determine this direction that we face, and in our place, because we reflect up to God and influence God, because we are the microcosm, and God is the macrocosm. So the microcosm is reflected in God. We cause God to turn and stand in the same direction we stand and face. We influence God just as he influences us. And we influence God by our choices, by the choices that we make in our thoughts, our words, and deeds. Excuse me. I need to swallow some coffee here. That's better. That's good coffee also. All right. So the sum total of our thoughts, words, and deeds are reflected constantly back up to God. And we can cause God, who stands on the tongue of decree, the pivot point that is in the center of the entire Godhead, to turn and face toward his loving kindness, to his chokmah, which is his wisdom, to his hesed, which is his loving kindness and mercy, and to his netzach, which is his endurance, his victory, and bring those forces through God into the world through us, or through a sum total of our thoughts and words and deeds, we can turn to the left, which will then cause God, who stands in our position on the Aleph in the center column, the pivot point of all reality, and cause God to turn with us to his left-hand side, to his side of restriction, which is what Bana is, which is restriction, and to Gevurah, Din, which is strict judgment, and to Hud, which is diminishment. We can diminish God's loving kindness in the world, and it's the side of death, whereas the right hand side is the side of life, and we can cause those negative, evil, paralyzing things to come through God's eyes and be transmitted to us as an influence from on high to us. But we have caused that influence. I hope you're following what I'm saying. This is a statement. What I've just described is the second half of a Kabbalistic axiom. Okay? That axiom goes like this. As above, so below, and as below, so above. So just as what happens above happens down here, and that's in the Lord's Prayer, if you're familiar with the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus, when he tells man how to pray. And it escapes me exactly now the exact words of that, but it's in the first part of that prayer. May your will be here on earth as it is in heaven. Some words to that effect. Okay, that's a Kabbalistic statement. But the second part of it is, as below, so above. Because what man does, because God made man of two natures. He made man as a composite being, remember? He made man as made out of clay, made out of the physical substance of the worlds, the materiality, physical and temporal substances of the coarse part of God's creation. That's the one part, the part that always wants to face left toward the side of death, and the part that is his divine soul. It is the part that is ethereal and spiritual, the part that comes from God. So God is within us. God is a fundamental part of us. And it's the part that makes us want to turn to the right, that wants to listen to the Yetzer HaTov instead of the Yetzer Hara, that will always lead us to darkness, evil, and death, and ultimately purification, because we all will be redeemed in one manner or another. Okay? Or we can turn to the right side by listening to our divine nature, the call of God's image in us, his Zelem, his divine image in us, and adhere to, cleave to, have devikut with the Yetzer HaTov, and turn to God's right-hand side. And when we do that, because of this divine nature, meaning that we're connected to God, we influence God. God stands in our position. We cause God to stand in our position on the pivot point within the Godhead, on the Aleph. And he turns either to his right-hand side or to his left-hand side. And he is influenced by what he sees. And if he sees loving kindness and wisdom and endurance and victory, then that's what comes out of him. That is the holy forces that are activated within him. And he pours forth his shafa, his divine sustenance, in the form of those positive attributes and forces. And they come down into this world and are transmitted. And if you look on that diagram of the 10 holy sephirot, the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, you will see, where do they come down? They come down into Yesod. From Mem, they come down the pathway that goes into Yesod, and then into, they come down to Yesod, suffice it to say, Yesod, and then into Malkut, and then from Malkut into our world, meaning into us. We're not even on that diagram. That diagram is in us, but we are not on it. We are below Malkut. Okay? We're connected to Malkut, and from Malkut we receive all of our sustenance. But if we turn to the left, by adhering to, cleaving to, having devakut with the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, then God, who stands in our position in the upper world, is influenced by that, and he too turns. And what he sees with his divine eyes is the withdrawal, the pulling back, the restriction of the feminine in Bana. And he sees the anger, the wrath, and the strict judgment without mercy of Din, which is another name for Gevurah. And he sees the diminishment and the death that comes from Hod. And he's influenced by that, just as he's influenced when he sees the right-hand side. This is almost mechanical. This is almost mechanical. Okay? And this comes into God, and it triggers or activates those aspects of God's personality, and they generate a divine influx that goes down from him, but this is a negative influx. So, the question is if we have this relationship to the supernal world in which God resides, and we can actually influence how God feels and thinks, which is what I'm telling you is the case, and our influence on God causes certain of his personality and characteristics and attributes to be activated, and then these being activated send forces downward into our world and into us, then we have a terrible, a frightening responsibility, do we not? So we also have a wonderful, beautiful opportunity. We have to choose constantly between the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, and the Yetzer HaTov, the urge to do good. And the consequences are not limited just to us and the people around us. What I'm telling you is the consequences extend because of this divine nature that we have, this combination of physical and divine being that comes together and is united in us. Our decisions and our actions, our thoughts, our words and deeds affect not only us, but affect the upper worlds, affect the ministering angels, affect God himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy Blessed One, causing him to turn on the pivot point of the Godhead, the letter Aleph, either to his right-hand loving side or his left-hand evil side. And what happens is, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. That's exactly what happens. We cause either more goodness to come into the world or more evil. It is solely on our backs. We are responsible for whether the world is more evil than it was this morning when we got up, when we go to bed at night, or whether it is a sounder, a happier, more peaceful, more loving world. It is totally within my power, within your power, and every other person's power. But if you don't know this, then of course you can't do anything about it, can you? Well, you now know it because I've told you about this. Okay? Let me check the time that we have here so I don't run on too long. Okay, we're at 36 minutes now, so I can wrap this up in just a few moments. All right. Let's see here what we have left. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and stop here today. We'll be done a little bit early today, but I don't want to start another part that I can't finish without running over into the 45-minute range. Okay, so this will be all that we do for today. And we will continue along this trajectory, this line of teaching on this subject, when we return on Wednesday. In the meantime, I've recorded this, and it'll be saved and available on our website as a .mp3 file. That's at www.beitshemtov.org, spelled BEITSHEMTOV.org. BeitShemTov.org, under audio on a navigation bar under a button called Audio Archive. Okay? And in the meantime, I will be rebroadcasting this teaching tonight in the same room at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. So you're certainly welcome to come back and listen to it again if you'd like. If so, you know anyone who would like to listen to this, let them know that we're here and this is what we do. Okay. In the meantime, if I don't see you until next Wednesday, then I ask God's blessing to be upon you, and may His face shine upon you. And don't forget to remember God at least twice a day. And that way you're bringing him into your consciousness and establishing a form of communion with God when you do that. So don't forget to do that at least twice a day. And in the meantime, may you go from strength to strength. Be well. Zeigesund.